Amen, amen. We're here for a special time today to dedicate Bryce and Natalie. Adeline. We're going to dedicate Adeline Grace Friels today. We're saying that we're being nice, but we're really dedicating the parents. Because without them, Adeline could be a mess. You know, Adeline won't do anything. She won't eat by herself. She won't bathe by herself. Isn't that right, Brett? Huh? You ever tell her just go up to bed? Amen. How many here serve a great God today? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to speak this morning, giving your children back to God. Giving your children back to God. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God, for an opportunity, Lord, to be a blessing in your kingdom. And I just pray, God, right now, that you'll speak to every heart here today. And Lord, let your will be done. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In Isaiah 44 and verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. We are honored today to be able to partake in this dedication service for Adeline Grace Friels. She was born December 12, 2017 in Cleveland, Ohio, and was born weighing 6 pounds, 3 ounces, 18 and a half inches long. She's born to the parents of Bryce and Natalie Friels and all the grandparents and the uncles and the aunts and all that are here. Amen. We're thankful for you all being here today. But we know that children are wonderful if properly trained. That was free. I threw that in there. But they really are. It's a wonderful thing. From the time they are born until the time you get them out of the house, they are precious to behold. Things that babies do sometimes just are awesome, aren't they? You ever see how a baby uses their entire body to yawn and stretch? Isn't that awesome? The first time they laugh out loud. And they look up at you with so much trust in their eyes, knowing somehow that you are going to do everything you can to take care of them. They trust you. Amen? They have no other choice. But see, children are from God. And Isaiah 44, 2 says, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. You read several accounts in God's words where he knew you before you were born. That's awesome. And that tells me that you are someone before conception is even made. So while the debate continues over when you are a human being and when you are not, you become somebody when God knows you. Amen? Not only does he know you, but he also formed you. He made Adeline exactly how he wanted her to be. He determined her eye color, her hair color, her tone of her skin, and the pitch of her voice. God made her beautiful in every way. Children are of God. Children are also a gift. And what a precious gift they are. They are a gift that need not be taken for granted. And there is one statement that I read about a seventh grade science teacher said. This teacher was describing how children are formed and how they are delivered. And listen to what she said. She said, for babies to come out perfect is far less likely than for a baby to have problems. You see, if they have 10 fingers and 10 toes and properly working organs and everything is okay. But are they? But they are, she said. She said, what she was saying was that baby is less likely to come out that way. She called it a blessed thing to have a healthy, baby. My wife and I, we prayed for God to bless our children to be healthy. And Adeline has been blessed. Amen. Bryce and Natalie have been blessed with a precious gift from God. See, it is important for you, Bryce and Natalie, to as parents, that God has called you to be the parents God has called you to be. It is important. He has trusted you enough to give you a great addition to your family. Keep her in the atmosphere of a loving father and a caring mother. Keep her in a place where she knows about God. Keep her in a church where she will one day come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, children are a precious gift from God, and they do bring great responsibility. And I know that you folks are up to the challenge. Amen. Do your job. Children are grand also. It has been said that the wonderful thing about grandkids is that you can love them and spoil them, but most importantly, you can return them. See, you get them just at a point of being obnoxious, then you hear Grandpa say, "Well, it's time to go back home." In Matthew 19, verse 14 says, "But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And the RSV version says, "But Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven." We should never in any way hinder children from getting to know Jesus Christ. Amen? See, children are so grand. Folks, they belong to heaven. Grandparents, the responsibility does not only lie with the parents. You too have been blessed with a gift from God. And it is your responsibility to help oversee the raising of Adeline. In 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwellest first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also." Why is it in Timothy? Because it was in his grandmother. Because it was in his mother. Folks, if you want your children to believe in God and trust in God and live for God, it must be in you. You have a responsibility. Not to the point of telling Bryce and Natalie how to raise her, but you are to offer encouragement, grandparents. Let them know that you are there to help, to offer some mom and dad time away from the kids, to pray for their safety, to pray for Bryce and Natalie as they make many decisions that affect this precious gift from God. And saints, there's things that we do for our kids at Church of Pentecost. We have to pray for our children. Many of our children will be saved before the age of 18. Provide for ministry for our children. Provide an atmosphere of unconditional love for our children. Our children are precious. We have to understand that we have been given in their young age a window of opportunity. That window is to affect and influence them to become lovers and followers of Jesus Christ. Will you pray, saints, will you pray for them and provide encouragement for them? See, knowing that the children are to put into our care for a few short years, will you commit to praying and providing for them? On a personal note, my final point it's not my final point, I don't know why I'm saying that. Remember, Adeline is of God. She is a precious gift. She is grand. She is precious. Amen. We must remember that. Amen. But we have to give them back to God. Give them back to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. and he worshiped the Lord there. Have you ever given your children back to God? Now, I know some of you are thinking, I'd like to give them back to God. I didn't think God would take them back. I thought if he had a no-return policy on the kids. Besides, I lost a receipt. The truth is, folks, there is not a parent here who hasn't had a few moments or maybe days when you wouldn't have liked to say, here they are, God. Here's, you package them up, you put return to sender, and you say, here you are. Right? Don't, come on now. You're not supposed to lie. I want my money back, God. You see, me and my wife, we used to have theories about raising kids, and now we have kids and no theories. That's why we have to go to the Word of God, see? I read a story where a young boy went to his mother's and mother of three children and asked, Mom, what would you like for your birthday this year? She said, I would like three well-behaved children. And the boy said, Mom, then there'd be six of us. Now, I'm not suggesting you return your kids to God and try to get your money back. What I'm asking is if you've ever given your children back to God. What I am asking, have you ever really recognized your children are a precious gift from the Lord, and they belong ultimately, and always to God first? They're not yours, they're God's. Released ownership of your child, of your children to him. And when you do that, understanding that God is responsible for the way in which they were designed and already knows the plan and purpose for their future. Now, we would like to think we know, but things can change real quick. But God knows, folks. And we have to realize God has left it up to you to show them his way. Amen? God has left it up to you. This is the way, honey. This is the way, son, daughter. God wants you to live for him. And not just tell them, but live it. God has been asking us to put many things on the altar recently. And today, he is asking Bryce and Natalie, who are parents, to bring Adeline Grace Fields and put her on the altar. There are many examples of parents in the Bible who brought their children to God and gave them back to him. And there is a classic example of Hannah bringing her son, Samuel, the son of whom she prayed, and presenting him to God and handing young Samuel over to Eli, the priest. In 1 Samuel 1:27-28, for this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Joseph and Mary brought the infant child Jesus to the temple following his circumcision of 8 days and brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. But the example of a parent surrendering the child to God that I want to read about today is that of Abraham offering Isaac on Mount Moriah. And you read in Genesis 22, it says, let's see what God would have to say about giving your children back to God. Genesis 22:1-13, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now God realized he loved him. God realized Abraham loved his son. And God realizes today that you love your child. But God has something for you to do. He says, get there to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which the God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid Isaac upon his son upon the, and took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, now listen, I told you, God expects you to tell your children how he wants you them to live for him. And here shows an example that Abraham had done that. My father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire, behold the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, he understood what it is to serve God and do the things of God. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do they do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, folks, Abraham literally, totally, irrevocably gave Isaac back to God. Amen? Folks, that had to be hard. That had to be painful for Abraham to do that. Abraham loved Isaac. God said it, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him, Abraham. Isaac had been a miracle baby. He was born when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 years of age. Just try to put yourself in Abraham's place. It was incomprehensibly painful for Abraham to strap his promised son to the altar, to the stack of wood, raise a knife to slay him and offer him to God as a burnt offering. I know it would have been hard to do, even if God asked. But in a very real sense, I know I must do that with all the precious children God has given me. And folks, do you know that the best thing Abraham ever did for Isaac was to tie him to the altar and surrender him back to God? That was the best thing Abraham ever did for his son. Had Abraham refused to give Isaac back to God, he would have forfeited all God's promise and plans for Isaac. Isaac would have lived and died in obscurity, a nomad and a nobody. But because Abraham, folks, obeyed and gave Isaac back to God, Isaac received the fullness of God's best plan and promise for his life. Isaac became a wealthy man. Isaac became the forefather of God's own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac's life is still having an impact on and blessing millions of people worldwide through his offspring, Jesus Christ. And so, you and I need to learn from Abraham today. If we refuse to fail to give our children back to God, we may very well be forfeiting God's best plan and purpose for their lives. And when we entrust our children back to God, we secure for them the covenant, God's best purpose, and God's best plan for their life. Now, there are four elements of giving your children back to God. What does it mean? There's four things. Number one, giving your child back to God is confirmation of your love for God. The first thing you are saying when you give that child back to the Lord is simply this: You are saying that you love God even more than you love that child. Come on. Your child is the most prized possession, but don't allow that child to take the place of God. Come on. Don't do it. Child, I love you so much that I want the very best for you. And if it means giving you to God, if it means spanking you, if it means giving you limitations, holding the line, changing my life for your benefit, I'll do whatever it takes. And this is exactly what Abraham proved by his willingness to offer Isaac. You see, he was demonstrating that his love and his fear for God, who was supreme in his life above all else, Abraham loved God above the most prized treasure of his life, his only son, Isaac. When you read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, it says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Those are powerful words. And then also, giving your children to God is clarification of ownership. When you give your children back to God, you are openly declaring that this child is a gift from God. You are openly declaring that this child does not really belong to you. And you are openly declaring this child belongs to God. You see, you have the privilege to love and to train that child. It's a job. You don't just expect your child to learn things on their own. You have to teach them. The Bible tells them that a child is to honor his parents. And you need to teach them to honor you. Come on. Don't get quiet on me. I can park right here. You have to teach them. Don't let them back talk you. Don't let them get smart mouth. Make them honor and respect you. But this child is not yours. It's God's. You see, is this not what had to be on Abraham's mind, folks, when he laid Isaac on the altar? Was he not saying, "Lord, this young man belongs to you, not to me"? He was saying, "You do with him as you please. He is yours, God." Listen, folks, that little boy or girl does not really belong to you. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. They are a precious gift from God on loan to you. Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." We'd better be careful how we treat and care for God's property. Right? You see, folks, God did not authorize the state to raise your child. Nope. And God did not authorize daycare centers to raise your kids. God authorized mommies and daddies to raise kids. Amen? Now listen, contrary to what Hillary would tell you, it does not take a village to raise a child. It takes a mom and dad. And if they're going to raise them right, it takes a mom and dad with a little bit of guts about them and says, "I don't care what anybody else says. I'm raising them the way God tells me to raise them." Then you have to give your children to God. Is a commitment to raise your children God's way when you do. When you give that child to God, you are committing to raise it God's way. Ephesians 6:4 says that we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, to give your child to God is not just a ceremony. It is a commitment. It is a commitment that you are going to be a godly parent. Parent dedication requires getting right with God. Teach this child of Christ, and they will need to be saved. Teach them. You need Jesus. Keep this child in church with you. Don't just send them. You bring them. You want them to worship? Show them how to worship. You want them to praise your God? Show them how to praise God. You want to show them what's important, that being in the church when the doors are open? Then bring them to church with you. Love this child, even if loving them means disciplining them, letting God disciplining you.
Uh-oh. Oh, I hit a chord there. How can we discipline our children when we won't let God discipline us?
You got to pray for that child. Train that child. You have to stay married for that child. Yeah, that just one of the ugliest things I ever heard is, it really won't affect the kids. Liar. You're lying through your teeth. You know it. It does affect them. This world, what's going on in this world proves it affects them. Folks, we got to do everything in our power. Listen, we can't change things in the past, right? We could change what's going on today and tomorrow. Come on. Now, let me tell you something. I raised two boys and another slew of kids that were always around our house. Did I make mistakes? Yes, I did. But I'm not above apologizing. I've had to get down to their level and say, I've done wrong and I'm sorry. If you can't do that, your children, don't ever expect them to look at you and apologize to you for anything or their children. We have to make our home a holy place. Listen, your children need to be able to come home to a place where they can feel the peace of God. Wherever it is they go during the day, they should be able to say, I can't wait to get home. Come on, they got to have a place of safety. They can have the church. They don't have a key to the church. But they're going home to your house every evening. Do they regret it, or do they look forward to it? I'll tell you what, if it's a holy place and there's the peace of God there, they'll look forward to it. They'll walk in the door and go, it's good to be home. Come on. Now, let me explain how that should be. All right, listen, we all like to get away on vacation, right? But I'll tell you what, when you walk in that door and you're looking for your bed, them hotel beds don't feel like home. Come on. Uncle Joe and Aunt Susie's house, their bed is just not as comfortable as your bed. I mean, you got that groove. But folks, there's nothing like going home, especially when you can feel the peace of God there. Put away the worldliness in your house. If it doesn't please God, if it doesn't glorify God, get rid of it. Live a righteous life at home. I think some people see baby dedications as a magical ceremony. I'll have this dedication and voila, my kids are going to be these perfect kids. They're going to be godly kids. Listen, folks, this ceremony means nothing, zero, if you are not making a sincere, lifelong commitment to raise a child God's way. Amen? Now, I like what Joshua told his children of Israel as they settled into their new home in the promised land. In Joshua 24, 14 through 15, says, now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now,
let me stop right there real quick. I know people think, well, you know, I love God and he's a good God. But you read scriptures like this, fear the Lord. That's meaning respect the Lord. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your forefathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your forefathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose the land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he's saying, look, you do whatever you feel, but I don't care what anybody else is doing. We're going to serve God. I don't care what this world and Hollywood says it ought to be, but we're not doing it. We're going to serve it God's way. Now, I want my family to turn out right. So I, as a parent, I am going to begin to lead them right. Folks, that's the kind of commitment God is looking for in parents today. Not only a confirmation, a clarification, or a commitment. God is looking for parents to say, I'm going to do what's right. And if you want your children to serve God, they need to see you serve God. Come on. You know what? It's frustrating when you see parents, I just don't understand. Why are they doing this? What are you teaching them? Well, I'm not necessarily your teacher. I'm not, whatever bad they're doing, I'm not saying you're teaching them, but you aren't teaching them to do the right thing. Are you faithful to the house of God? You love your pastor? You respect authority? Because if you don't, they won't. Come on. You that, or you're one of those parents, do as I say, not what I do. Huh? Giving your children to God is claiming the God of God's plans and promises for that child's life. Isaac inherited, folks. Isaac inherited God's blessings. He inherited it. That means somebody had before him had to have it. He inherited God's blessings. He inherited God's protections. He inherited God's promises because, why? His dad, Abraham, gave him back to God. In Genesis 22, 15 through 18, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. See, so many times we think we got to take care of situations on our own, but God says, you just obey me, and I'll take care of everything else. You want to hear something? Listen to me, parents. How many parents here love your children today? Your children are blessed by your obedience to God and are cursed by your disobedience to God. Oh, it's quiet. I'll say that again. Let's see if you amen me this time. Your children are blessed by your obedience to God and are cursed by your disobedience to God. There's a couple more. Folks, listen, they have a free will. But you stack the odds in their favor, or you stacked it against them by the way you live. Now, as you obey God with your life, and as you give that child back to God, you are posturing that child to receive God's very best for his or her life. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now that's what it says.
How many have ever heard this? Well, I want them to be able to choose how they want to live for God. Where do you see that in Scripture? This Scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what? My dad trained me. I'll tell you that right now. He had a way about him. Did I always do right? No. But I'll tell you what, folks, because of the way my dad trained me, I was always right here. And when I wasn't doing right, I knew I was doing wrong, and I knew what did I need to be doing. He pounded it in me. So this is what it means to give your child back to God. It is a confirmation of your supreme love for Christ. It is a clarification of ownership. God owns that child. It is a commitment to raise that child under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it is a claiming of God's best plan and God's best promise for that child's life. So this is exactly, folks, what transpired when Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah and laid him on that altar to give him to God. Abraham was confirming his love for and his fear, his respect of Jehovah. Abraham was clarifying that Isaac really belonged to God. Abraham was committing to be a godly parent. And Abraham was claiming God's plan and promises for Isaac. That's what he was doing. Folks, we have to understand, they're God's. They're God's children. And he's going to hold you accountable for how you teach them, for how you love them, for what kind of an example you are. He's going to hold you accountable. Now, like I said, they have their own free will, just like you did. But let me tell you something, folks. Why do people want children to go to school and go to college? Now, they may not end up, whatever you send them to college for, they may not ever live that. They may go live on the street under a bridge somewhere. But you gave them the benefit of the doubt, and you gave them everything you can to help them. Then why don't we do it for God? Come on. We are helping them get a hand up in life when we send them to school, when we send them to college. We're giving them a hand up. But it frustrates the fire out of me how people, they don't care about their children's eternity. Oh, it got quiet again. We want them to have a great life. We want them to be able to work hard and to buy a new home and drive nice cars and all that good stuff. But what about eternity? Who cares what they do here if they go to the wrong place in eternity? See, I believe Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto them. You see, I believe in the promises of God's word. Now, hey, I just might be just an old hillbilly somewhere. Not real educated. But folks, I believe in the word of God. And when the word says, if I'll seek after the things of God, he'll take care of the rest, why can't I believe that? Am I a fool to believe that? Call it what you will. But I believe God is real. And I believe God wants to bless. And I know this, okay? God says he'll bless me with many things. But there's always a word that says, if you'll do this, then I'll bless you. If you want the blessings of God, you got to obey the if. Amen? You see, folks, God sees children important, and so do these parents.
When you read Psalms 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, the children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." Some gifts have strings and some do not. And in this case, God's gift to you folks today has strings. Since God has given you this precious gift of a child, He has also given you an awesome responsibility. God has given you the responsibility to train up your child in the ways of God. He has given you the responsibility to be an example of a Christian living both inside and out of the home. He's given you that responsibility to provide and protect and nurture your child. You have to make her a part of your family, sharing her with your love and your time and your life. Teach her to love the same Jesus that you love. And serve and obey and honor Him with all of your heart. Do it for her so she will. Now you are not alone in this responsibility. God, your Heavenly Father, is always with you to provide you with the strength and encouragement and love and wisdom that you need. You must seek it. And all you have to do is go to Him. Say, "God, I need you. I need your wisdom right now to help my daughter. God, I need your wisdom right now to love my wife or my husband." But you have to seek after it. And if you do, He will provide it for you. He'll give you all that you need. All you have to do is just say, "God, help me right now." But see, we are not dedicating the child as much as we are dedicating the parents. And by having this dedication, you as parents today, Bryce and Natalie, are publicly saying that you want to raise your child in a Christian honoring home. And you are asking God's blessings on your ministry as Christian parents. And believe you me, being parents is a ministry. So I'm going to ask you some questions today, and you can answer yes or no. In answering these questions, you're not making a promise to God. You're not making it to me. You're not making it to your child, but you're making a promise to God. So if you are willing to commit your child to God and to dedicate yourself to raising her in God's strength and for His honor and for His glory, then reply by saying, "I do," to the following promises. Bryce and Natalie, do you recognize your child as a gift from God and give God thanks for blessing your life with His gift? Do you then dedicate your child to the Lord who gave you your child? Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up your child in a Christian home, looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Do you promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you promise to pray for your child on a regular basis, realizing that this is only with God's hand upon their life that they can truly be blessed? Do you ask God's blessings upon the life of your child to guide, guard, and direct her through all her years? If your heart was in these promises, then you have dedicated yourself to raising your child in a way that God can use mightily in His kingdom. So I have a letter here today. A letter I will give it to each of you on behalf of your child. And someday you might wish to open it up and share with her and let her know what you have done here today. And I'll read it. Dear Adeline Grace Friels, on this date, March 4th, 2018, your parents came before me in the presence of your church family here at Church of Pentecost to dedicate themselves and you to the Lord when they worship and serve. They recognize you as a gift from God and give thanks to Him for bringing you into their lives. They promise to train you in the things of God, looking to Him for divine guidance, wisdom, and strength. They ask God to someday fill you with the Holy Spirit and make you a blessing to others as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power. And as your church family, we have promised to encourage your parents and they as they grow in the Lord, and to always be there for you when you need help in living the Christian life that God has planned for you. Although you will not remember this day, I pray that we will always remember the vows that we've made to God on your behalf. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and grow up to live a life pleasing to our Lord. Sincerely, Reverend C. William Roberts. And I'll give you that letter to give to her someday. Right now, we want to take Adeline and we want to pray. Did she spit up already? No? Well, we'll take that chance. Fix her, Mom. All right. Let's step up here. Grandparents, family, if you want to come up behind them. Amen. Church, let's stand here today. Church of Pentecost, are you going to be there to help? Amen. Good morning. Are you ready for this? These moms, they like to fuss. What happened to your bow? All right. Let's just pray right now, and we want God to bless. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to bless this child, to help her, God. We just pray that you'll just touch her life. And, Lord, that you'll help Bryce and Natalie here today, God, to be, Lord, what they said they want to be. Lord, they want to be those great parents. They want to raise her, Lord, to live for you. And we ask right now, God, your blessings upon this family. Lord, God, and I pray that this church will do everything they can to be a blessing in their lives. And we want your will to be done. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.